W. Parks, live from the Washington Times.
Welcome back, 1206 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Hour number two officially underway on this Thursday. And I'm joined now by Washington Times political editor Stephen Dinan. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
Children swarming southern border prove a test to Obama's immigration policy. Who knew? We've got children, many of them under 12, entering the U.S. alone?
Yeah, and this is, you know, it's that 12-year-old and under number that's really stunning about this. And according to the Homeland Security Secretary, when he was down there earlier this month, he said they're called unaccompanied minors or unaccompanied alien children, UACs in government speak. And it's become a crisis, an epidemic, according to Johnson and according to the Homeland Security Department, which is quite an admission. And they say that Johnson was down there earlier this month, and he said that of the children, when he went to look at them, in his words, a, quote, overwhelming number were under 12 years old. That means that somewhere out there, parents are or family members are basically putting kids on trains or buses, sending them up to Mexico, having them traverse the country alone, get to the border. You know, sometimes they're with smugglers, sometimes they're not, but basically hook up with a smuggling operation or alone and skip over the border, sometimes swimming the Rio Grande. I mean, it's the struggle they're going through is stunning, and it really makes you wonder, first of all, what the factors are that are pushing them, what the factors are that are pulling them, and what they're surviving in order to do that. And given those, what in the world can the country do to stop that?
Yeah, all right, so what happens to them? Do they arrive and they just wander aimlessly in the U.S.? Is there a plan? Are they looking for family? Are they going to run to authorities instead of running away from them? What's going on?
The whole range of all of those, every single one of those you'll find examples of. And what we know, some of the more extreme examples we know, are youngsters who have been caught, and where the federal government actually, and you and I talked about this late last year, where the federal government, Homeland Security Department, actually takes them over to illegal immigrant parents who are here in the U.S. They're known to be here illegally, and Homeland Security actively takes the children who have just crossed illegally and deposits them with their illegal immigrant parents. So in the words of a Texas judge who wrote about this last year, Homeland Security is essentially completing the act of smuggling. They are complicit in, and maybe more than just complicit, they are essential in the alien smuggling operation in order to finalize the transfer of the illegal immigrant child from home to their parents here. And so, but you look at it from the government standpoint, there are federal laws that require them to try and place these children. When they come across, we give them special protections. They're not treated like normal illegal immigrants, adult illegal immigrants. In fact, so much so that they are transferred from Homeland Security to Health and Human Services. Basically, it's like a social worker situation. You know, these are vulnerable children. They're transferred out of a law enforcement agency and to a social work agency. But given those protections, we have laws. We try and put them with foster parents or with their actual family members. In some cases, that means giving them to illegal immigrants that we know are here and not bothering to put either of them into deportation proceedings. So those are the extreme cases. But as you said, it can be any one of a number of things. Some of them sort of know exactly what they're doing. They have a plan, and they try and reach their parents or family members here on their own. Others really do show up and just sort of encounter border agents and say, hey, you know, I'm here. I'm under 12, or I'm under 18. I'm an unaccompanied minor. You need to deal with me. It's so much so that there are some who are clearly older than 18 who come and report to the Border Patrol that they are unaccompanied minors and try and get the special treatment that way.
Yeah, and they can't be deported, right?
Well, so they can be put. It's a very, very, very long process. Given the number of children that are fleeing real fear at home of gang violence or being, either being killed by gangs or being pressed into gangs, or the number that fear domestic abuse, home abuse in their homes, they have a pretty good case for asylum. So, at that point, they can't be deported while that case goes through. There's also the availability of special juvenile visas to keep them here for a while. And no matter what, they are going to be able to fight their cases and fight them for years, which essentially means staying here with no problems. What's interesting about this is what in the world, if you're the Obama administration, what do you do about this? You've already made it clear that you don't really believe that regular rank-and-file illegal immigrants should be sent home. You believe that, hey, if you've gotten here, well, you're probably good to stay here unless you're committing major crimes. So given this population, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to try real hard to get rid of them and to deport them? No, probably not. You are going to try and encourage them not to come, and that's what Homeland Security has done. They've tried basically a public relations campaign back in Honduras and El Salvador, you know, some of the countries where this flow is particularly coming from. They tried a public relations campaign to say, hey, guys, it's a really dangerous crossing, and by the way, there's no hope for long-term legal status when you get here. So that's the administration's argument. The big problem with that is that these folks absolutely have a hope of long-term legal status, given all the talk of immigration bills up here, given the president's own non-deportation orders, and given what might be coming even, you know, later this summer with still more non-deportation orders. I don't know who in the world would believe the administration when they say you're not likely to get legal status if you come.
All right. Now, the administration has asked for Mexico to step up and help out with the problem. Any success there?
Well, no. I mean, you know, Mexico has sort of the same issues. In some ways, they have their own flow of these folks, and a lot of them, their destination is Mexico. I think it's still safe to say at this point that the chief destination is the U.S. But, so for Mexico, it's mainly a pass-through. You know, they've tightened their own southern border, but there's not a lot they can do either. So it's a really, I kept hearing the word intractable when I was talking with people yesterday, and I guess that's probably as good a word as any. It's an intractable problem because these are a vulnerable population. They are often fleeing conditions that are so bad that it really doesn't matter what the deterrent is and how bad the journey is. You know, The UN High Commission for Refugees, High Commissioner for Refugees, actually has studied this population. They interviewed about 400 of these kids on the U.S. border after they crossed. And the stories the kids told are just, they're awful. You know, the fear of rape, or in some cases actually having been raped on the journey up here, the fear of being killed by gangs back home, the domestic abuse, what they're fleeing makes apparently what they're willing to go through, the rape along the way, starvation along the way, the awful conditions in the desert along the way, apparently those pale in comparison to their home situations, which is why they're willing to brave all of that in order to try and get to the U.S.
Wow. All right. Now, obviously, this cost us money. Do we know how much?
No, so we have a few sort of inklings or markers of it. One thing that's worth knowing is that the House Appropriations Bill for the Homeland Security Department, which is about to go through committee here in the next week or so, that bill actually boosts money for this problem. I actually don't know whether it's a doubling or not, but it boosts money substantially for this problem in recognition of just how much of a problem it is. And I guess we should probably talk about the numbers. Right now, for this current fiscal year, Homeland Security Department estimates there will be 60,000 of these coming across. They believe that number will more than double. So they think that in 2015, we're going to see maybe 130,000 unaccompanied minors entering the U.S. That, if you know, depending on which estimates you believe, that could be as much as a quarter of all of the illegal immigration that we see next year, or at least illegal border crossings that we see next year. That's a stunning change in the composition of the illegal immigrant population.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the president has put off any new actions to change immigration policy, I guess hoping Republicans will take up the issue after all?
Yeah, and that's exactly his logic. So this is the I mentioned a minute ago we're expecting announcements later on this year for the president to basically announce more non-deportation policies. We'd all sort of expected them to come, you know, basically end of May or maybe early June, and he, at least the White House, has said, no, we'll probably be looking at late July, early August, basically after Congress has left for its summer vacation. And the reasoning before the White House gives is that they don't want to give Republicans an excuse of, and they know, if Obama were to announce these non-deportation policies right now, Republicans would say, well, look, this is exactly what we're talking about. The president has no intention of enforcing the laws, so why would we pass more immigration laws? The White House says we don't want to give that excuse to Republicans, so we're going to put it off. The problem for them, though, is that they didn't win any friends on either side of the debate. The Republicans said, well, okay, great, so you're telling us now that you're going to put off more non-enforcement of the law, but you're still going to do non-enforcement of the law eventually. Well, how does that earn you any any credit with us? And from the other standpoint, you have the immigrant rights groups and Democrats in Congress who are furious. They say, look, Mr. President, you have the ability to do this. you're acknowledging you have the ability to do this by saying you're putting off the decision, every day that you put off that decision, there are 1,000 immigrants who are being deported. A number of those should probably stay under your policies, so you're responsible for kicking tens of thousands of people out of the country who even you acknowledge should probably be allowed to stay here, and you're doing it for political purposes. So again, as always, the president is trapped. There's nothing he can do.
Yeah. All right, finally today, what's going on this afternoon, or are they taking the afternoon off? It wouldn't surprise me.
No, well, the Senate has been off this week, but the House actually has a couple of things going on, including the Homeland Security Secretary, who's testifying right now, actually, on a number of these issues, on unaccompanied minors, and on another story you and I have talked about in the past, the release of criminal immigrants awaiting deportation back into the communities. And then we should also later today have votes on a number of interesting amendments in the House, including one on stopping enforcement of marijuana arrests at the federal level. You know, that's an issue that's been gaining in steam. It'll be interesting to see whether this is the year that something like that finally passes.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Stephen, thanks for your help. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Andy.
1216, 1260 WRC, that's Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, I'll have a little chat with Judge Andrew Napolitano. Stay tuned.